Okay, good evening. So now we on the source sheet, what do we got? I think we're up to Yud Gimel here, at least that's what I think we sort of started on it. Yeah, I think we sort of started on it, but this is the main topic, and then you get into some also Lamaisa topics, and then I feel we probably have about 1 week left after this in Orla before moving on. I think we're going to run out of things that are pretty practical. But anyways, so Yud Gimel discusses, sort of goes off script, well, I shouldn't say goes off script, that Orla shows up somewhat vicariously in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, but it actually has a lot of ramification. So it's sort of a larger topic to think about if there are other, how it would apply. It's clearly the Gemara itself is comparing it to its sister sugya in Hilchos Shabbos, which has a lot of relevance. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I got to think of if there are other examples. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah says as follows: Yisrael v'goy sheyishalhem sad b'shutvus. We'll do it that way. We'll start with the Torah first. Then if you have a Jew and a guy that have a field that they jointly own. So Yochel Yisrael Lomar Legoy Tol Atosh Shnei Orla Vaniya Tol Shnei Heter Keneglan. He says, you take the Orla years, meaning the 3 years of growth during Orla, you'll get, and I'll get the Heter years, the opposite it. And then he adds in Afilu Lo Hisnu Techila. Even if they did not make a Tanai, even if they did not make that condition beforehand. You know, if you get to, it sounds like what the first opinion of Tur here is saying, which is colloquially known as the Shita of Rashi, as we'll see. It sounds like what they're saying. What? Yud Gimel, yeah. So now, in the Tur itself, in the middle section over there. So Shnei Orla Vaniya Tol Shnei Heter, right? So you take the Orla years, I'll take the Heter years. A few low histu tchila, right now we're on page Shin Hei now. So that's the colloquially known as the Shita of Rashi, more than the Shita of the Rush, which is how the Torah quotes it. But what are we talking about here? So it sounds like the first 3 years go by, they have this partnership, and the non-Jew is taking all the fruit, right? And the Jew's not. And the non-Jew's like, all right, well, I guess, you know, I'll take all the fruit. I don't know what's bugging him. And now along comes the year, and all of a sudden the Jew starts taking it, and he tells the non-Jew, listen, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but I wasn't taking any fruit the first 3 years of this tree's existence. So, and the reason is because I had this Orla thing that meant that I wasn't allowed to take it. So I was thinking that I would take all the fruit from this tree the next couple of years, right? So it sounds like what Rashi is saying is that that's okay. That's all right. Meaning, even if they didn't make the Tanai beforehand, he could sort of exclude the non-Jew from taking fruit then. That's going forward. However, the Rambam writes, no. Dafka shehisnu tchila. In order for that deal to be in place, where the non-Jew is going to take the Orla fruit and the Jew is going to take the non-Orla fruit, that only works dafka shenachu tchila, that it hits new tchila. If they made the Tanai originally, sheitel agoy shnei Orla v'Yisrael yitel shnei heter keneglan. Avalo hisnu asu, but if they didn't make that condition beforehand, they had to have agreed upon that before. But if they didn't agree to that before, so then no, afilin hisnu tchila, period. Then it's not going to work. Then it's usur for the Jew to say, you know, I let you have all the Orla in the past, and now I want to have all the fruit for myself. That's going to be a problem. It's going to appear like he is benefiting from the Orla, because in essence, he's paying the non-Jew with Orla fruit in order for him to have all the fruit now. So Rambam says that that's a problem. He's benefiting from Orla. But Fulim Hizuchila, and even if you did make the Tanai before, Imbo Lecheshbon, if it comes into Cheshbon, that's also a problem. What does that mean, Imbo Lecheshbon? It comes to a, like some kind of equation. So Lomar, Kama Peros Achol Hagoy Bishnea Orla, Kach Yochel HaYisrael. As if to say, how many fruits were eaten by the guy during the years of Orla? That's what the Jew's going to eat Kenegda. Meaning, it's one thing to say, you get 3 years worth, and I'll take 3 years worth, and it's not going to come out equally, so alright, it doesn't come out equally. It doesn't need to. That's the whole point. But if he comes out and says, we're going to keep track of how much fruit you have over the first 3 years, but so non-Jew's like, what's going on here? I'm going to take the Orla fruit. There aren't going to be any fruit the first year. The second year, they're all going to come in puny. And the third year, maybe I'll get one or two good ones. Alright, that's not a fair trade. So Jew says, fine, I'll tell you what. Whatever you get and whatever you consume, we're going to weigh. right? And when you get a, and you're gonna get a, get whatever it is, 15 pounds worth of fruit over those three. Let's assume it's 15 pounds or whatever it is. It's 10 feet. We're gonna weigh it, and whatever you get up to, then I'm going to weigh out that amount following the orally year. So in year four, I'm going to take as much fruit, while over, for you over the first 3 years, you got 15 pounds. In the fourth year, I might get 12 pounds, right? So I'm going to get the fourth year and a little bit of the fifth year. That's all going to go to me. And then onward, from then onwards, we're going to be shutfin and we're going to split it. So the Rambam says, usser. That's prohibited, because that's clearly making a demarcation, meaning I'm benefiting from the orla fruit and whatever he got. So now I'm going to get the equivalent. That's going to be that's going to be considered to be usser. So the Rambam seems to be imposing two different requirements here, two qualifications for him to make any type of deal. The Rambam says, number one, it needs to have been agreed upon beforehand, before anything got started. And B, it can't be for specific amounts. It could be for amounts of time, but it can't be for a cheshbon, it can't be for a specific amount. And the Rush writes, Kesfar Rishon. The Rush agrees with the first opinion, which is the opinion of the Torah, and really the opinion of Rashi, as we'll see now in the Beis Yosef. Someone want
to
say something?
According to the Rambam, he could say, okay, you get the first three, and I'll get the fourth. That would be all right.
So, it seems like it should be. For some reason, it didn't. The example is always three and three. But I don't know why that would be, meaning especially if it's...
Most likely you're right, the first 3 years are not going to be as much as the second.
Yeah, it probably should be like 3 and 1 kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yes, although I was listening over the last couple of weeks trying to find some shirim on Hilchus Orla, which for some reason are not too easy to find. But I think somebody in some kashrus thing I was listening to said that nowadays it's really not true. That the Gemara itself, we'll see, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but the Gemara, the Halacha itself makes assumptions based on the fact that it doesn't think that there's going to be very much fruit the first couple of years. But whoever was giving this talk said that he said it's not true. And practically, because of whatever, you know, hormones and fertilizer, whatever, all the farming advances, they're able to get fruit out of new trees much faster than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever that chazaka was, I'm not even sure it really was a chazaka. I shouldn't say that.
This tree is not big enough to, even if it bore fruit, it wouldn't be as big as a mature tree.
Maybe. Well, first of all, the other thing we may or may not get to tonight is replanting trees. Does that restart the clock? And l'chora it does. It actually does. It probably does restart the clock, depending on what happens. We'll see. We'll see that sugya. But
in landscape, often grow trees up to a certain size at their nursery. And then they'll go to homeowners, make a hole, and put in the little tree. Farmers never put in saplings, right?
Right.
So you're getting a head start on the growth of the tree because it's already,
right.
Not a huge.
Right, right. No, that is definitely a thing that perhaps we'll get to tonight. I'm not sure that we will, or maybe we'll start it. But yes, no, that's probably. In terms of practical orla shaila, let's put it this way. I think that might be the only orla shaila I ever got asked was on that issue of what happens if you buy from if you buy a tree from Lowe's or from Home Depot and you go home and these tree, you know, fruit tree, right? Let's say and now you get home and now you plant in the ground, so it's these trees are already fairly grown. Essentially, already 10 feet or whatever, they could be, if you go to the Lowe's, that outdoor part of Lowe's, so there are trees there that come, right? So if you replant it, does that restart the clock or not? So it depends on how much dirt comes along with it, but we'll save that for later. Yeah? What?
No, I'm saying that it's grown in a nursery, so it might have been there for a year before.
Right.
Longer.
Right, so that was already the next topic. The assumption would have been that it is uneven, meaning that there are more in the second set than the first set. So either the Gemara is trying to make things simple, or there maybe there is some reason why it would specifically be 3 and 3, although I don't know why that would be. Or, I don't know, you know. Yeah, I don't want to say Gaisha cup, but, you know, whatever. I can imagine some sort of, you know, something like that happening. All right, anyways, so the Beis Yosef here spells out the sugya that this is coming from. It's a question of how to understand the Gemara here. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Avodah Zarah, it's quoted here in the Beis Yosef, of Hanahu Morikai, the guy Nakit B'Shapta, the Yisrael B'Chad B'Shapta, that there was these farmers, and the guy would gather on Shabbos, and the Yisrael would gather on Sunday. So this is not a Orla issue, this is a Shabbos issue, at least in take one, right? So there are these partners, and the guy collects everything on Shabbos, and Jew collects everything on Sunday. So Asul Kami de Rava, Sharalhu, and they came in front of Rav, and Rava says, yeah, that it's mutter. Now, it sounds like they were doing it already, and then they went and asked Rava, by the way, you know, what do you think? We heard you're giving Shirim on Hilchos Shabbos. What do you think of this situation, which we've already been doing for the last couple of years, right? But anyways, that's what they went to Rava. And Rava said, you're right, it's mutter. So Esfei Ravina LaRava, so try to keep track of the Amoraim here. So Ravina says to Rava, Yisrael V'gai Shekiblu Sada B'Shutfas. He says, what about the following? Right? We have a brisa that says that the Yisrael and a guy that have a field in partnership. Lo Yomar Yisrael L'Gai Tol Chalkecha B'Shabbos V'ani B'chol. Right? That don't tell the guy, you can't do it, you can't tell, when you're divvying things up, the Jew can't tell the guy, you take the Shabbos, the stuff from Shabbos, and I'll take the stuff from Sunday. Right? However, v'im hisnu mitchila mutter. But if you made the condition originally, it would be mutter. V'im bo l'cheshbon aser. And if it's bo l'cheshbon, whatever it is that means, you're tefillin, that's all you're, see Hoffman tefillin all over the place. So igli milsa dehistu mei karahavu, right? But I'm sorry, I skipped a line. V'hishtu mitchila mutter v'imbo l'cheshbon aser. If it comes to the cheshbon, so then it's going to be aser, right? So that seems to go against Rava, right? Rava was saying, I thought it was mutter for them to divide it up Shabbos Sunday, and now this brisa seems to say that it's aser unless they made it tonight in the beginning. So then we're actually comments ichsif. Rava was like embarrassed by this. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't, like, what was I thinking? And then l'suf igli milsa dehistu mei karahavu. And then it became apparent that actually was that they did make the tonight originally. That was the way the shaila was originally. Now it's a little unclear to me what exactly, I mean, did they? Did Rava not realize that? And he passed in Heter anyway. Like, is this like a lesson in, you know, Rabbanim have siyata d'shmaya to pass in shilas correctly, even if they don't necessarily remember the case? Like, I'm not really sure what is coming from that. But anyways, that's what the Gemara, that's case number one, right? It's an entirely Shabbos thing. They're not allowed to have a partnership. And it seems pretty clear that the psak is, when it comes to Shabbos, that they're allowed to make a t'nai originally, but they can't make a t'nai going forward. Right, that's psak number one. Next, so Rav Gavia Mibe Kesil. So Rav was collecting from Mibe Kesil. Rav Gavia Mibe Kesil. Sorry, I think that's a person. Rav Gavia Mibe Kesil. Amar Hano Shesile Orla Havu Gai Achil Shnei De Orla VYisrael Shnei De Hetera. That he talked about the Shesilim are the. We talked about before, I think the saplings, right? He had these Orla saplings. So he said the guy should eat from it during the Orla years, and Israel should eat from it from the Heter years. So Asul Kami de Rava, so they came in front of Rava, and Sharalhu and he matured it. So, period. Right? So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara matured it. So Gemara asks, Vaha Usfe Ravina l'Rava. Well, what about Ravina's question on Rava? Right? What about Ravina's question on Rava? So, what's the Gemara asking here? It sounds like they needed to make the Tanai beforehand. Right? That sounds like what it's asking. It's asking from that previous Brisa, right? That Brisa where it says that they showed up with regards to the Shabbos and the Sunday, and they're allowed to split up one guy Shabbos and one guy Sunday, presuming that they made the Tanai beforehand. So, how is Vina Ravina Lurava? So the Gemara says, no. Siyue Siyai. That wasn't a Kasha. That was a teretz, or that was a proof. Now, the question is, what does that mean? Right? That wasn't the kasha, that brisa that was quoted on Rava. That was a proof. So a proof meaning what? A proof that you see it's a problem on Shabbos, but it's not going to be a problem during Orla? Like, what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara then asks one more line, but wait a second, what do you mean? There's a background, there's like a story, there's like a maisa here, that Rava was embarrassed, and he didn't realize, and then he remembered, right? What about that part? So the Gemara says, no, lo ha'idvarim ba'olam. Oh, that part never happened. Never happened. Meaning the issue here is not that it's two different stories with Rava. The assumption of the Gemara is that there's one story that happened with Rava. There was a question about the Shabbos thing, but it's a question what the case was. Was the case a Shabbos case, or was the case an Orla case? Okay, and that's how the Gemara ends. So Rashi picks up on this and says, "Upeirish Rashi." So Rashi explains Shasile Orla Havu, right? That they're Orla Yisrael v'Gai Kiblu Sada Shutfus. Skip to the next one. So Sharalahu.
You're away from the microphone.
Sorry. So Sharalahu. So it says, so Rashi Dibar Maskel. So the Beis Yosef quotes all the Rashis, meaning when there's a two period and then one period. So that's the Rashi Dibar Hamaskil that he's quoting. So he says, Sharalahu, right? The Heter Gamarhu, right? Because it's fully permissible. Da afalgav de kiblua yachad l'chadchila v'amrle Yisrael haya ata ove v'shal shanim halalu v'anishlo shachrehem in kan iser shlichus da Yisrael nami shari la'avde v'im yishum achile she Yisrael ochel kenegda v'nimsa nene miperus orla shemachron ein zen nene shekina mishpat shana shezeh oved hu ochel. Period. What does Rashi say? So Rashi says that, well, What's the question of the Gemara? When the Gemara says, what about that proof about the Shabbos thing? Rashi says, no, that doesn't apply here at all. Why? Because there's no Isser Melacha for the Jew, right? The Jew's allowed to work, right? The Jew's allowed to work during Orla. He's just not allowed to consume during Orla. Right? Because he's allowed to work during Orla. So therefore, the issue of whether they made a Tanai beforehand, right, that's not going to be relevant here, right? There's no problem of the guy working on the Jew's behalf or not, right? It's not an issue, right? None of that's an issue. So therefore, by Orla, it should surely be Mutter, plus you don't have the Shabbos concern. And the Gemara says, so then are they allowed to split it? So he says, sure, they're allowed to split it. Meaning that's the deal they're making. They're saying, okay, you know, you eat then, I'll eat now, and right? And wonderful, right? And therefore it should be mutter even without a tanai beforehand. Okay? And it actually continues on, and you look at the second line towards the end, he says, v'chein kasav harash, that's also the sheet of the rush, that even if they didn't make a condition beforehand, right, all of a sudden, in the wake of year three, the Jew could turn to the guy and say, you know, you've eaten the last couple of years, now I'm going to start eating from this fruit, and, you know, I appreciate if I get the whole tree, I think that it's only fair, and the non-Jew would be like, all right, I guess, fine. And that would be mutter. That would be mutter because why? Because there is no concept of the guy doing work on behalf of the Jew, right? Because the Jew's mutter to work. It's only in Shabbos where the Jew's not allowed to work, where we have a concern that it's going to appear that the non-Jew is working on behalf of the Jewish person. Okay? So that's the sheet of Rashi. Now comes along the Ran. The Ran is pretty prominent in Avodah Zarah, and he says, Kasa, not quite as prominent as he is in the Darim, Sheldon, don't worry, but he is pretty prominent in Avodah Zarah, and there he says, Kasa val divrei Rashi, vilafiza, Yisrael v'goy, shekiblu shadda v'shutfus, yochli Yisrael lomer l'goy, tolat hashnei orla v'ani shnei heter. Right, and that's what Rashi said, he quotes Rashi, right, therefore a Jew and a guy, they own a field together, the Jew could turn to the guy and say, you take the orla years, I'll take the heter years, period. Fine. V'temeini. He says, so the Ran says, but how do you read the Gemara? What is the help that the Shabbos gave to Orla? The Malacha de Orla pshita de Sharia. He said, what do you mean? The Malacha and Orla, of course, is Mutter. V'im yishum achila she... So what would the Gemara mean when it said that Braisa in Shabbos, right? There's no comparison. V'im yishum achila she Yisrael ochel kenegdo... And if you say it's about the idea that the Jew could eat opposite what the guy ate, meaning the guy ate the first 3 years, I'm going to eat right. I pshita lunch, ein zen nen, and v'peres Orla, v'zne shekacha mishpat, the shana shezeh oved hu, ochel, lo tzvichon et siyatim yibraisa. V'im yisveikulan bahachi midi hechi pshita sveik. Because if it's about the Jew didn't work the first 3 years, so then okay, he's allowed to eat going forward. But you don't need the brisa to prove that. And if you say that the Jew were eating the whole time, so then how does the brisa in Shabbos resolve that when the brisa is talking about a case where the Jew couldn't have worked? So the Ran says, therefore, I think he got the halacha wrong, and he says, V'risi Rambam shekazav perek yud mihilchos machalos asuros. It's interesting. Hilchos Orla, I'm sure we pointed it out. Orla in the Rambam is found in Hilchos machalos asuros. Right, usually, if I were to ask you, hey, where is the Rambam talk about Hilchos Orla, right? Which book of the Rambam, of the 14 books of the Rambam, where does he talk about Orla, right? I would have said, well, you look up Zrayim, which in fact I probably did a few times. I took out the Rambam Sefer Zrayim to find Hilchos Orla. It's not there. It's in Hilchos Machalos Asuros. The laws of Netar Ravai, of the fourth year, which has an aspect of Kedusha to it, that's in Zrayim. But the halachas of Orla itself, it's actually found in Machalos Asuros, things that you're not allowed to eat. Right? That's the din. So anyway, so Goy v'Yisrael Shayishuv from Minatiya im histu mitchila. And the Rambam there uses the terminology of making a t'nai mitchila. Right? I don't have to read the rest of the Rambam, which he quotes here, but, and the Ran says, and I agree. I mean, I think that it's right. I mean, the Rambam says it's the same halacha in Shabbos as in Hilchos, as in Hilchos Orla. If you make the Tanai beforehand, great. If you make the Tanai after, so then it looks like you're benefiting off of the Orla that you had beforehand. Okay? So with that, we can take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself, which I assume is page 4, maybe? Is that where it is? Page 4, Yud Gimel here. So,
page 4.
Right, so here the Shulchan Aruch says, Yud Gimel, Ovi Kochavim Yisrael Shayishutim Benetiyah, if you have a guy and a Jew that were partners in planting, Im lo histu mitchila, if you didn't make the tie beforehand, Aser, Vim histu mitchila, Hachutfus Sheheha, Ovi Kochavim Ochel Shnei Orla, Vyisrael Ochel Gimel Shanim, Mishnei Heter, Keneged Shnei Orla, Hareza Mutter. And if they made the tie originally, the partners, that the guy would eat the first 3 years and the Jew would have the next 3 years, so that is Mutter as well. Vulvad, as long as you don't have a cheshbon, what would be a cheshbon? Ketzik, you go to Yachshon, Kama Peros, Kama Peros, Achal, Ovi Kochavim, Vishnei Orla, Achi Yochel Yisrael, Kenegdan, Osun Peros, Shiza Asim, Fteshu, who Kamach the Peros Orla. To actually use a number of the amount that the guy ate, now the Jew's going to eat the equivalent, so that's going to be a problem. Comes the Ramah, however, and says, V'yish Matirin, and there are those that are matir this, a few lo histamit chil, even if you didn't have the tonight beforehand, Raksha Yisrael, Omer lo v'kochavim, tola tashnei orla, vaniya tol shnei heter, kenegdan, right? You took the orla years, and I take the heter years, so it's, even if you didn't make the tonight beforehand, that would be mutter. Okay, so that's how the Ramah seems to come out lakula on this issue. Now, what I found, interesting slash troubling is if you take a look in the Shach. So the Shach on the bottom, Chav Ches, he says, "V'lo dami l'Shabbos," and this is not the same as Shabbos. Why? The Asu l'Chuli Alma Lomer l'Ovi K'chavim Tola Tachal Kecha b'Shabbos Ani B'Chol, where everybody prohibits saying to the non-Jew, "You take your portion on Shabbos, and I'll take during the week if you didn't make it tonight beforehand." As we explain in Orach Chaim Siman Reish Mem, hey, the Hasam Yish Iser Shlichus Hamalacha b'Shabbos, because there it looks they have the additional problem of it looking like he's your messenger to do avodah on Shabbos, right? That's a bigger issue, which you have to concern about. Therefore, we're going to be more machber on Shabbos. Aval Hacha Ein Kan Iser Shlichus Malacha. There's no problem of Shlichus because the Jew's allowed to work. Mashi Yisrael Ochel Kenegdan In Zenena Shekin HaMishpat Shana Shezeh Oved. Who ochel. And the fact that the Jew's eating now, that's not a problem because that which the Jew's eating for the years that he works. So fine, he's eating through the room that it works, and therefore, by here it's mutter, by Shabbat it's aser. So I expected if you would take a look in the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Shabbos, so I took a look in the Shulchan Aruch there in Reish Mem Dalet, I think it's page 8 here in the pages here, so I would have expected to not have a problem. But the problem is, so I didn't put in the beginning of the Mechaber, but if you look on page 8, right, so the Mechaber says, this is talking about a shutfus, a partnership between a guy and a Jew. So he says, Mutter, vim lo histum betchila, we could pick up in the middle there, if they didn't make a tanai beforehand, kesheyavo lachluk, when they come to divide things up later on, where the non-Jew worked on Shabbos, the Jew worked on Sunday. So notel eina Yehudi schar hashabasos kulam, the non-Jew would take the payment for all of the Shabbos, v'hashar cholkim oso, and the rest you divide up 50-50. Because it wasn't decided beforehand that the Jew will work Sunday and the non-Jew will work Shabbos. V'im lo yaschar hashava hashabbos yadua, yitul einu yudi levado shviyas haschar v'cholkem hashar. And if you're not sure exactly what happened on which days of the week, so then the non-Jew, you'll take it up, you'll take all the money, you'll divide up into sevenths, right? The non-Jew will take 1/7, and then the other 6/7 will be divided up 50-50. So it'll end up being is that the non-Jew would end up with 4/3, and the Jew would end up with 4/7, and the Jew would end up with 3/7. Right? Mathematician Dan, we're good? Okay. right. A lot of pressure for that one. Okay, so I would expect it, according to what the Shach said, that the Ramah would have shrugged and been like, and not said anything. However, the Ramah is not silent here. The Ramah pushes back here also. He says, V'yesh matirin, haskar b'di'evit, afilo hisnu, v'chelko stam. He says, there are those that are matir, this payment, b'di'evit, even if you didn't make the t'nai beforehand, and they just divided it. And he quotes the Rush. Perek kama davodas zara, meaning the Rush in avodas zara, our Rush. It says v'nira li de behefsid gadol yesh yisvuch alayu, and he says, it appears to me that b'makom hefsid we could rely on this. Now, v'nira li de behefsid gadol yesh yisvuch alayu. Now, the Ramah's a little more machmir here than he is by in Orla. In Orla, the Ramah's like, yeah, we paskin like the Rush. Here, he's a little bit more strict about it, but still, nevertheless, that is the way he paskin. So it's for the Shach to kind of leave it out completely and say, oh, by Shabbos it's totally different, as you see in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, the Ramah disagrees there also. But, okay. Anyways, now just as this applies to, so what does it mean, v'chelko stam? So the Mishnah Berurah here, Ches, at the bottom says, Hainu shebishas chaluka lo hisker lo yisrael es ha-Shabbos. Meaning when they come to divide it up, the Jew doesn't mention Shabbos. Lomar atat titul keneged yom Amaleich, b'Shabbos v'aniyat tol keneged yom amali, b'chol. Meaning you're going to take the day of Shabbos as yours, and I'll take my day of work, meaning Sunday, of mine, and we'll divide everything up. Elachelko stam b'shav. Rather, just divide it all up equally. V'gam ma'ri shalo amar lo b'tchila avodata b'shav. You also didn't discuss that beforehand. V'aniyat avod kenegdecha b'chol. Ela ha'ina yudi osi ba'atzmo shalo b'tzivuyav dim levhachi asir l'chul yalma. He says, if it was agreed upon beforehand that the Jew and the non-Jew were going to be partners, and he turns to the non-Jew and says, you're going to handle Shabbos, right? He's like, right. And the non-Jew turns, but there is no equal condition for the rest of the week. It's not like the non-Jew turns to the Jew and says, oh, and you'll handle Sunday, right? And right, that never happened, right? So Shabbos, the non-Jew works by himself. And the other days of the week, they work 50-50. So if you're then going to divide up the profits 50-50, so says the Mishnah Berurah, that's aser. Everybody agrees that that's aser, because there it's clear that the non-Jew is working on your behalf on Shabbos. And that's a problem. And then finally, the first wide liner in the Mishnah Berurah says, V'da d'chol ha-siv zeh ma'ri she-yisrael ve'inu yehudi heim shutfim b'guf b'tanur v'mercha'at. So v'alim e'inu le'inu yehudi chilip b'guf ha-tanur, then it becomes a problem. What is that? So the Mishnah Berurah adds in, he says, with regards to Shabbos, this whole issue is only when they are actual partners in the business, meaning the example of the Shulchan Aruch is that they own a mill together. Right, so they own a mill, and I guess I don't know exactly how mill payments worked back in the day, but I guess people would come in and they'd pay to use the mill. So they'd come in whatever day of the week and they'd pay to use the mill. So if they are both joint owners of the mill, so then that's where the sugya applies. But if they're like partners, but the mill itself is owned by the Jew, I mean the Jew entirely owns the mill and they have a partnership on a business aspect to it, or something like that. Whatever that partnership is, so says the Mishnah Berurah, that is going to be worse. Meaning if it's owned, if the actual object of Malacha is owned by the Jew, so then that's going to be worse. Then it's going to be us. So you would have to actually give over ownership of that material to the non-Jew to be able to make this work. Otherwise, it's the non-Jew working on the Jew's stuff on Shabbos, which would be a problem.
Normally, if you have if you rent somebody a tool, and you know he asks for it just before Shabbat, and he says I'll give it to you right at the end of Shabbat, you can't do that. But if he says okay, I'll take your lawnmower and I'll take it on Thursday, or I'll give it back to you on Monday, even if he did all of his lawn mowing on Shabbat, you know, you didn't tell him to do that.
There is a concept of Shvitas Kalim, right? I don't think we paskin like that. I mean, that shows up in the Mishnayos a lot. I don't remember how we paskin specifically with that.
What? I don't see the difference between a mill and I don't know.
No, the plus the mill, it looks like it's my thing. Meaning, there's money being owned, being you know, I'm earning money by malacha being done by my thing. So it looks like it's my business that's being managed by a guy or something, but it's really my business. Right? It's not an issue of using the mill per se. It's an issue that I'm running a business using a mill on Shabbos.
Yeah, let's say if it was a kiln and I'm a potter, I make pottery.
Right.
And some British potter wants to rent my kiln.
Right.
You know, if he was just going to come on Shabbat, that could be an issue, right?
If it's my, yeah, but I'm not sure that's because of the Kalim issue. I don't remember that, how that, when the dust settles, because it shows up in the Gemara a lot, this issue of Shvitas Kalim, but I don't believe we really paskin that's an issue, right? Let's say he would want to come and borrow my kiln, you know, so first of all, there's an issue with it being on my property, but let's say it's out in the middle, in the wilderness someplace where there's nobody around. So could he then use it on Shabbos and without a payment? I think maybe he could, but the issue here is that there's a business aspect to it.
The idea here is that you about the payment, because if he's that's what's making you benefit from his work on Shabbat,
right?
If he plausibly could have done the work at a different time, you know, you give it to him the mill for 2 days, and it's up to him whether he wants to do his milling on Sunday or Saturday.
I mean that's work that's being done for me. That's sort of like a different aspect. I mean, here he's talking about work done for him and using my property. That case of the. Of the how much time does he have? Is he going to be able to complete it not on Shabbos, and he's choosing to do it on Shabbos? That's an issue of me needing something done with his stuff for me. Right? It's a different simon. That's a different discussion. Okay, so the that's the issue with regards to the partnership. You know, the Orla partnership, I'm not sure is really going to come up practically so often. The Shabbos partnership does come up more often. And it is really an imperative to make sure that these things are taken care of beforehand rather than afterwards. They did already a little while back on one of the Headlines podcasts, they had a couple of like nursing home owners, it sounded like, that they did a show on the rental agreements when it comes to nursing homes on Shabbos. So the description that one of them gave is like, I don't remember what exactly the case was, but like, you can't like close the deal on owning the nursing home on Shabbos on Friday morning and be like, call up the rabbi and say, hey, can we take care of this Shabbos partnership issue? I heard you have some document that we could fill out, right? Can we just make sure to take care of that, before 2 o'clock? Because, I'm going away for Shabbos or something, right? It doesn't work like that, right? It really has to be decided, worked out beforehand about how these partnerships and things like that are going to be in play. Okay, now we get to go back into the ground, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, 1 second, I've got... Okay, so back into the tour here for a little bit. So the tour in Tezayin moves back into, right, so that was your Gimel Tesayin. So actually skipping a few Sifim in the Shulchan Aruch here. But the Torah says that whether you are Notea Agarin o Yachur, right, so the issue of Orla is going to apply whether you're planting a seed or whether you're planting a sapling, right? Either one, Osha Akar Kol Ilan V'natu Mokam Achir, or if you uproot a tree and plant it someplace else, V'yachar HaMarkiv Yichur B'Ilan Achir, or if you graft a sapling to another tree, v'echad hamavrich she'osa guma etzel ilan, or if you like make a ditch next to a tree, umashpil echad me'anfia ilan, and you take one of the branches of the tree, umatmin emtze'isu beguma, and you stick it into the ground, you stick the middle of it into the ground with the end of it coming out, right? Which is a thing, apparently. Right? Rosha yotze mitzada acher, and the head comes out the other side, v'nase ilan kulan chayevin be'orlan, orla. And therefore it turns into a tree, so all of those issues are chayev in orla. Right? However, this new tree is coming into existence, it's going to be chayev in orla. Now the Torah adds in a note, especially with this last piece, the last piece of where you take a branch and stick it under the ground and then have the other side come up. He says, V'davka shechatchu mitzad zeh mi'ikar ilon. As long as you cut off the tree. I mean, you have to cut it off from the original tree. If it's still connected to the original tree, so then it, the orla clock is not going to count. But all these aspects of grafting and putting in seedling, all these things, in theory, start the clock on, or start the, restart the orla clock. And he says, Kozma,
with the grafting, you're attaching tree A to tree B. So tree B is already a big tree that you can eat the fruit of.
Right. So it's, I think you're cutting. You have to cut off from the original tree. If the original tree is still there, or still connected to the original tree, it's going to be considered as if it's getting its nourishment from that first tree. And it's not going. I mean, this v'davka shechatchu mitzad zeh mi'ikar ilon is going on all of these things. Meaning, if there is a tree that's older, that's been in the ground the whole time, and that's supplying some nutrients to these other trees, it's going to not have the orla. Orla is not going to be applicable.
So when you're looking at this grafted tree, you know, you'll see, I don't know, an apple tree, pear branch coming off of it. You can't eat the pears, but you can continue to eat the apples?
No, I think you'd be able to eat the pears too, I think. I mean, you have a different... It's actually the next simon is the issue of kalaye haitzim, I think. That's the next mixing trees, what's allowed and what's not allowed. That's actually the next simon, whether you're allowed to do that in the first place. But let's assume it's... but the fruit that are growing off of the graft, right, that would be mutter, in theory, yes. Right away. Meaning there's a kula and a chumra here. The chumra here is it's laying out the stringency of anything time you have a new thing, it's going to be planted, but it's, I think it's in order to, you know, sort of keep everything, in order to categorize everything, he adds in, so long as you cut everything off. In fact, he continues on here and says, these are really just Mishnayos and Maseches Orla, but he says, Aval kol zman shehu mechubar, as so long as it's connected, kein chashiv ke'echad me'anafav upater. As long as it's connected to the original tree, it's considered just a leaf, a branch of it, and therefore it's pater. V'im la'achar shegadol ha'anaf, but if after the branch grows, shehivrich, shegadol ha'anaf shehivrich, Hivrich b'menu od anaf. He says not only that, but if let's say you took a thing and stuck it in the ground, then there's a tree coming out, and now that tree becomes whole. So you take a branch from that, and then you stick that in the ground, right? And that could go on and on and on and on. Kim kama pamim, many times. Zachar zeh kol zman sharishon lechubar leikar ha'ilan kulan piturin. So long as they all go back to the original one that's connected to the original one, it's going to be putter. But hifsik harishon miyikar ilan chayvin. But as soon as you make that cut, right, you cut off the papa tree from the first tree that came from it. So all of them, all of a sudden, begin their orla count then. So that tree could have been in the ground for a long time already. Now I don't know how this really works. I assume there's roots that grow and maybe maybe it whatever. But at least according to the simple reading of the Mishnah, as if you cut things off from its original source, the orla count begins right then for everything, even though it's been for a couple of years. Right, fine, but the first one's going to be pater. But if the first one got uprooted, and if it was uprooted, so then it becomes tuffel to the one that's in the ground, and therefore you would have to begin counting in that case as well. Okay, so go head into the Shulchan Aruch here. So we skipped Yud Daled and Tesvav and move on to Tezayin here. So in Tezayin it says, Echad o Teya Garin, o Yichur, o Sha'aka, is really just a quote of the Torah. Sha'aka kol ilan minatam okam acher, v'achar markiv yichur ilan echad mavrich, the hainish osa guma, ezel ilan, mashbel echam yafe ilan, v'tam mitzvosa v'guma, v'roshu yotzi miyatzara acher, v'nasi ilan kulam chayven be'orla. Right, all these cases, well, the grafting or the undergrounding, or whatever that's called, right, all these things, it's going to be chayven orla. V'dafka shechadach mitzadzem, yichur ilan, so long as it gets cut off from the original one, or it's not absorbing from that one. About kolzman shu mechubar v'yonik mimenu chashuv ke'echa me'anafa, but so long as it's getting nutrients from that first one, it's considered one of its leaves, and therefore it's going to be pater. And if after it grows, the Shulchan Aruch continues, v'yonachar shagadol ha'anaf shehivrich mimenu od anaf echad ba'aretz v'asa kein kampa mimzachar. Is that kolzman sharishon mechubar le'ikar ilan? So long as the first one is still connected to the ground, they're all pater. But as soon as you break that connection of the original one to the other ones, it's going to be chayiv, umachilin lindos lahem yishashe hifsik ve'ikr pater v'imnekar ha'ikr me'akarka chozulios tafel l'anof v'shivrich umonim bein l'ikr bein l'anof mishashe nekar. So then you would begin counting those other ones from the time that it was uprooted. Not too many arguments here, not too much discussion on this particular din, even though it seems like it is extremely relevant. Now, one more. Let's just do Yud Zayin here. It's also just a quote from the Torah. It's not much here, but it is, this actually, I can see this having come up often, and that not so much nowadays. But then he says, "Afal pi shaminog ovdei adama lahavrich gefanim b'chol shana." He says, when it comes to the vines. So the vines, they would do this every year. They would take these vines and stick it in and all this stuff. It seems like it was a constant orla issue. B'chol shana, mutter lishtos yayin bifnei ovdei kochavim. They would be permitted to drink wine from the non-Jews' vineyards. Now, wait, what about yayin nesach, all that? No. They get the grapes from them and then make the wine themselves. But what about orla, right? That's their practice. The practice is that they're constantly playing around here and constantly doing, and constantly restarting the clock on these branches. So that should be a chayv and orla. Says if afilu b'krum she Yisrael ovdim osam, even where the Jews work, right? Umavrichin osam b'chol shana mutter. It's still going to be mutter. Why? Mishum de mavrichu markiv einan chayv b'orla ela ba'aretz. So comes the Shulchan Aruch here and says, oh, that whole din in Tez Zayin, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Why not? It's unclear. Other than the Rush is like really bothered by how people are doing this, Rush says like, oh well, I guess it must be almost like because based on the fact that it seems like everybody's doing it, it must be that it's only a problem really in Eretz Yisrael. Those Mishnayos about the planting and the unplanting and the grafting and the digging, all that, that's only in Eretz Yisrael halacha. Chutz La'aretz, not applicable. He says, and you can even find a heter for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael who are using grapes from the non-Jews. Why? Because most of the gefanim are not orla. Most of the grapes are not orla. Why? And here, as we alluded to this before, even if you know there is orla in those fields, we don't have to be concerned. Why? Because before the years of orla have gone by, they don't really make too many fruit. Right? And if they do, they're dakim, kalushim, she'enim, ru'yim, la'asos, behem, yayin. They're weak and they're dry and they're small and they're not able to be used for wine. So whether that is applicable is today, I'm not sure. Even more, with grapes, plus grapes, I would think these grapevines, when they get stuck in, I would assume grapes probably grow pretty quickly. It's not like a tree that needs to grow, it's just the vines that need to grow. But yet, nevertheless, the Rush is looking around, and he's like, why? Nobody seems to be machmir on this issue with regards to grapes. So why are we so makil? So he gives two reasons. One is chutzlaretz. Chutzlaretz were makil on all these halachos. And number two is, well, we could rely on the fact that if you're actually getting a grape that's going to be used for wine, that grape is probably coming from a vine that's at least 3 years old, and we could be so mech on that. So whether that chazaka would still apply today, I'm not sure. But you see, in these Eretz Yisrael wines, right? They always say the ones that are kosher. Always have some line on it about kasher mechashash orla, right? It's not so pashut, right? This is they have to pay careful attention if they're really going to be machmir on that, because any time that you're sort of, I don't know how the grape fields operate, but it seems like there would be a major concern about branches getting planted and unplanted and replanted and all that kind of stuff, especially because we'll see next week how easily these things would be would require the clock to start. So that's part of the Hashgacha's job then, is going to be to make sure that that all the grapes that are growing are not Orla. Yeah.
Well, it seems like you have a self-contradiction in that paragraph, because first he says every year they redo the grapes.
Yeah.
And then he says,
I think what he's saying in the beginning is not they redo all the grapes, they redo some of the grapes. I mean, they're constantly moving things around. Doesn't mean all the vines are new, it just means they're constantly playing there.
You're only getting the good wine from the grapes that have been around for a couple of years.
That's what his suggestion is, yeah.
But the new, you don't get.
Now, how true that is, that I don't know, but that's the claim.
Definitely see where Orla consultants could have had a good business in those days.
Yeah.
Really today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If a tree sort of plants itself the seed is in the ground, or you clear up some land and you see a tree there, you wouldn't know how long it's been there.
Right. So, I think we had something about that earlier on. Yeah, I feel like we came across that earlier, but I don't see it right now. But yeah, I think you use your best guess to figure out what it is. But yes, I think that chazaka is part of that cheshbon. And if it has full-grown fruit on it, so it seems like, at least in the time of the Gemara, it should be assumed that that should be mutter, yeah.
As long as you don't have to worry about seeds that sort of randomly fall down and produce trees or vines, you could plant a field in 2022 and you just irrigate the field and weed, and but you don't collect anything there, and then come 2025 you should be good. Everything should be 3 years old.
Right, that would be the assumption.
Unless a bird came or whatever.
Right. No, it seems like they were keeping track, that they knew, and the other trees would then be smaller, right? I think it's still considered, in the time of the Gemara, they're still assuming the trees are growing over those 3 years. That's what I think we have. I mean, you could clearly see a distinction in terms of in those first couple of years. Now, again, whether that still applies today, I'm not sure, but that at least seems to be the assumptions in the Gemara.
Right, and there was some talk about, they would identify what grew before Tu B'Shvat and after Tu B'Shvat with a ribbon or something.
Yes.
So we're talking about a very slight difference. It's like
right. That is true. Right. As we've learned in the beginning, right, a couple of days could make a difference between right, if it's planted in Tammuz versus in Av, right, that can make a difference of a whole year. That is true. Right. That's true.
Just like it. Born a few days apart might end up in a different grade when they get to kindergarten,
right? Right.
Or first grade.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good evening. Pick up next week. Can everyone wish Joel a good trip to Israel on Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll be here this Shabbos now.
Right.
How long are you going for, Joel?
For almost 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, my daughter's having a baby.